Well, I'd like to ask for your undivided attention this morning, just for this time up here where we talk about the glorious gospel, an event so amazing, so grand, it turned the whole world upside down. I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because I believe we want to be a community of people led by God. You know, what would happen if we were a community of people led by God in our lives? The gospel isn't just an app you download or something you follow or unfollow at a whim. This is a life-changing thing. Nothing else can rock your life like the gospel. It's the center of everything, just like Morgan was singing. It's the center of everything. So I have up here these two shirts, and this shirt here is one of my shirts, and this kind of represents something. And you know, I've got some memories in this shirt, memories I'm not so fond of. You know, I've had some run-ins with the law with this shirt. I've let some people down that really were counting on me while I was wearing this shirt. You know, harmed relationships. And this represents some ways I used to think, you know, ways I used to operate, things I was chasing that I thought I needed to be okay in my life. And so this kind of represents that part of my life. Kind of cool there. And then I have this shirt. And this shirt represents like a new phase in my life, you know, where I began to become part of a group like this, when I joined the Church of God, when I began to think different ways. And I have some great memories in this shirt. With this shirt on, I have been part of some small groups where I've had some really just tremendous breakthroughs in my life, where I've learned new ways of thinking about God, where I've learned new ways of seeing me, and new ways of relating to other people. I have some really great memories in this shirt. I'd kind of like to present those two shirts this morning. I want to present to you this morning what I believe to be the most powerful engine of personal transformation that I have seen, like ever. It's a small engine, but it is so powerful. I love to present this. When we talk about personal transformation, one of the things to mention, though, is I think we would all agree that most people do not have, like, really big changes. They don't make big changes in their life, like long-lasting changes, unless they have really good reason to do so. And something we experience all the time. And so, you know, it's something to kind of think about. What are the changes that need to be made? And what are the reasons? And not to go way into it, but for my own reasons for personal transformation. I was raised in a home of extreme addiction. My father introduced me to needles at a very, very young age. A lot of drug addiction, a lot of sexual abuse. And even more damage than those things was the neglect, just not being invested in or taught, made to take care of myself or to receive any kind of training. We just kind of ran wild. It was like a free-range kid, you know, and it was actually very painful. So when I look at that, I would say this, that the two biggest pains in my life, what caused me the most pain as I look back in my past, maybe they're different for you, but when I look back in my past, what's caused me the greatest pain would be two things. One, having a broken identity. You're being broken as a person. You're not knowing really who I am. Like, what am I here for? What is it all about? Is this a big joke? Am I a big joke? Like, what is this? Who am I? You know, and being really broken as a person. That was one thing. The other thing would be not being able to love people that I wanted to love, that needed me to love them, that were counting on me to love them. I would say that those were the two things that, as I look back, it caused me the greatest pain and would be the greatest motivation for me to go after personal transformation, that I need I need this transformation. And it's so incredible, guys, that the gospel in itself, just a simple gospel, addresses both of those things like a direct bullseye, like a direct hit. Right out of the gate, it addresses who I am and then gives me the power to love other people. So one of the things about following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of his, what is our new command? What's the new command? Anybody got it? Anybody? Anybody want to say it? Love one another? We're called to love one another. We're not just called to love one another like Hollywood syrupy sweet love. We're talking about supernatural love, the way God loves, which is a very intelligent love, does what's best for people. You know, can't tell you how often I'm called, people call me mean or I'm not being nice when I'm doing what is best for an individual. We're called to be that salt for people, where we're able to love other people in a supernatural, intelligent way. And one of the things that we've discovered is that before I can deal with you in a healthy way, before I can love you in a functional, healthy way, I have to first be able to deal with me in a healthy way. If I can't deal with me and I'm not solid, I'm going to really struggle with dealing with you. And this happens, this transformation happens through a process that we call repentance and faith. It's both of those. And I don't know what you think of when you hear the word repent. It's kind of a religious sounding word. But who was John talking to when he said repent? He was talking to the most religious people of their day. Religious people. People that had memorized most of the Old Testament. People who centered their whole lives on pleasing God. That's who he was talking to when he said, you guys have to repent. You guys have to change your thinking about what it's going to take to please God and what it's going to take to love other people, what this whole life is about. You got to turn it around. This is a real big deal. So changing our thinking isn't just turning away from a sinful lifestyle, isn't just walking away from this. It's so much deeper than that. To change out of this, you're going to have to change your very core beliefs about who God is, how he sees you, and who you are as a person. Like, all that has to change in such a way that it comes out in our behavior. Pretty big deal. 1 John 4:7, can I have that up here? I just have a little clip of it. Just want to show you the beauty. I love small statements. I love to just take the opening lines of Scripture. Look at this. Beloved, let us love one another. Isn't that cool? So right away, you see, this addresses the two pains that I had in my life. Right away, this is who you are to be. You're the beloved. Isn't that cool? See that? How is that done? Well, it's right here. Be loved. That's who I am. That's my call. I'm the loved. That's who I am. I'm the loved of God. If you don't get that part, you're not going to be able to do the next part. Let's love one another. Why? Because I'm the loved. I'm the loved of God. And that's pretty cool. I love that. That addresses who I am and what I am to do. People that come into our ministry, come into our influence, oftentimes they find it really refreshing when they find out that God actually likes them. You know, they really like that. They think that's cool. And not only do they find that refreshing and empowering, to find out that he likes them, but when they find out that he actually thinks about them all the time, how innumerable his thoughts are of us, view. And that's life-changing. Not only did they find that refreshing, but they find out more than that. Not only does he like you, not only does he think about you, but he plans for you. Like, he's tracking way ahead. He's opening doors, he's closing doors. He's a God that plans for you. He plans for me. And not only is it wonderful that he likes me, thinks about me, plans for me, but guess what else? He is for you. He is not against you. I had someone call me the other day and said, I think God's trying to get me. I'm like, trust me, if he was trying to get you, he would have already gotten you, right? So I just find it wonderful that I can get all my personal needs met from my relationship with God. You know, it's a marvelous thing. When I first started entering the world of recovery, I had this list, this index card that I would keep in my pocket when I would run around the world doing my thing. I had this in my pocket. And these aren't a list of my physical needs. These are a list of my personal needs, right? The strongest motivators of what, like, takes 90% of our day are these right here. And I found out I can get all these met with my relationship with God. And when I was feeling down and when I was feeling hurt, when I was feeling insecure or insignificant, I'd run off into a bathroom and I'd open this card up and I would exercise faith and I would say, thank you, God, that I'm loved. Thank you, you love me. Thank you, God, that you accept me, like right now, you accept me as I am and for who I am. Thank you that you've forgiven me for all my sins, and they're many, they're many. Thank you that I'm important because I'm yours. And thank you that my life is filled with meaning and purpose. And thank you that you have made me adequate. That whatever you've called me to do, whatever shoes you've asked me to step into, you have given me the ability to do it. Thank you. I put it back in my pocket. That's called exercising faith in the gospel. That's making him my personal savior. He saves me personally every moment of the day. It's pretty cool stuff. This is a part of this journey that we're on, a personal transformation journey. Let's just say this is God here, and then this is you. We'll say you. And we're talking about this vertical relationship here between you and God right here. And what I'm talking about is what we call milk. This is the milk of the word. The book of Peter says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what it says. We are to crave this milk. And it's like a little baby, you know, we give them milk. What happens when we give them milk? They grow, right? So we need this milk. And the milk of the word is all that God has done for you that you couldn't do for yourself. All he's provided for you, all that he is to you, like that firm foundation pouring into you, that's the milk of the word. And one of the things I discovered is if I'm going to be a supernatural lover, if I'm going to be good at loving other people, guess what we have to be good at as well? We have to be skilled receivers. You know, I could come out here and do this big motivating message of let's go out in the community and love others, but before we can do that, guys, we have to be really good at receiving the love of God. How are you at that? See, that was something that was really hard. Like, I get go out there and do, paint someone's house and mow someone's lawn, that kind of stuff. But if I don't know how to receive that love, you know, it's really going to become an empty practice after a while. It's going to be kind of hollow. So, and I want to tell you, I'll tell you this too, that, you know, I was a desperate person for this stuff because I would call myself a documented loser, right? Like, I have proof of the losing I've done in this world, in this life, okay? I have documents of divorce. I have felony records, right? I have this kind of stuff going on. I have businesses that have crashed and burned because of my addictions. I had a wife that 2 months before she passed away went before a judge and pleaded with him that he would give her an annulment of our 8-year marriage because she did not want it in any of her history that she was married to me, this great big jerk. That's the kind of jerk I was. That's the kind of person I was. That's the kind of stuff that I knew I was losing, guys. And I have it in black and white, right? But guess what? I found something else written in black and white, right? I found something else. It was that important to me. I found out, I got Ephesians 1:5, is that up here? Check this out, guys. Boom. He predestined Stan, who once was a loser, for adoption to sonship. He's made me a son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In the middle of my greatest losing, I found out some news that changed my life. I found out I was adopted. Isn't that cool? It's written in black and white. I have a document to prove it. I've been adopted by a pretty important person. That makes me pretty important. God not only adopted me into his royal family, me. Not only did he do that, but he gave me a supernatural gift. He gave you a superpower when you were adopted into his family. His word says he gave us all gifts. He's a gift-giving God. He comes into our life first to give, and he gave each one of us a supernatural gift. You have a superpower, and it's that thing that whenever you do it, it's like when you do that thing, wow, like how do you do it? It's amazing. Like when I try to do it, it doesn't look so good, doesn't come out so good. But when you do that thing, wow, how do you do that? Well, it's a gift. God gave you that gift. And he gave me a superpower too. Not only did he do that, he gave us armor, right? Supernatural armor he's given us. He's armed us, which tells us about the situation we're in. Someone's handing out armor, tells us some things. He's given us a sword that we have that's sharper than anything that this world has. And his word, this word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, breathed out. This is God's breath. It's amazing, isn't it? So I breathe in his word when I read it. His Holy Spirit interprets it and then breathes it out of my life as I breathe it in. Don't just read it to read it. Read it with God. Read it with him. Talk to him about it as you read it. Let him interpret it. Let him breathe it out. I found out in the scriptures here, you know, the fact that I am secure as a person can be. I'm as secure in the love of God as Jesus is secure. And I am as important on this planet as he was, come to do his mission. I've come to do mine, and you've come to do yours. I found this stuff out as I began to believe the gospel. I also found out that I'm set apart for his use, and so are you. I found this stuff out. You guys do what you want with this. I'm telling you, when I found this out, I'm like, I'm in. But I'm saying what this document holds, what the good news holds, can change the world and has, and could change this community. And I thought, this is amazing stuff. This is incredible. John 1:12, right? One other passage here. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, that's me, I'm one of those, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Check it out. I'll show you this. Let's just say that's God. Let's just say that's his shape. Okay? He says that you have become born of who? God, right? So who is your dad? Anybody? He's answering. See, he's answering. He's telling me. People have a hard time with this. When I say, if you're born of God, who's your father? That's awesome. Like, why aren't we doing cartwheels, right? Like, this is crazy stuff. So that means, this is the stuff my wife and I had to sit and work out. If I am born of God, not of human passion or plans, what it says. That goes on to say, not of human passion or plan, born of God. That means if this is what God looks like, then check me out. I'm born of God. Look at me. Look at you. Look at my new nature. Look at my new history. Right? Look at my incredible potential. Boom. Look at my new future. Is this crazy? Like, in all reality, it's even more glorious than this. This is really what you look like. It's actually like this. That's actually what it is. You're in him. He's in you. This is really the message of the gospel. You know, we can experience physical union, and we get all caught up in that and get all mixed up about what that is. And we understand physical union. I can experience physical union with a cheeseburger, right? Like, I can eat it. It becomes part of me. I become part of it. You are what you eat type thing. I can experience physical union with a human being. But this is cool stuff. Is God, who is spirit, I'm not talking about physical union. God can actually enter our spirit and become one with us in spirit. This is the foundation of my worth as a person, that I am one with God. His spirit and mine are together. And this is big stuff. So when are you, as a newborn spirit, born of God, when are you going to die? Whenever he dies, right? Good luck with that. When are you going to be unloved? Whenever he's unloved, right? I mean, this is great news. This just gets better and better and better, right? That's why I'm so skinny. I'm just constantly running around going, yeah. This is amazing, right? It's pretty cool stuff. Now, when we're born of God, when we're born again, it's similar to when we're born the first time. We don't know who our dad is. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going on. There's a lot we don't know. Because it's not like when I'm born of God that I all of a sudden have amnesia, right? I still remember stuff, because guess where this guy lives? This guy lives right here in my body. This would be your body. With all my negatives, my addictions, my memories, all these experiences I've had, my defects of character, to use recovery language, my wrongs, all these belief systems that I carry, my traumas, my PTSDs, they're all here. But indeed, it's still a treasure in this jar of fragile clay, no question about it. So, in this thing we call Christianity, you know, how many of you heard Christianity is not a religion, it's what? Okay, you guys are probably sick of hearing that. I know I am, and I'm up here saying it, right? Can't believe that I'm saying it. But the scripture goes on to say, in 1 John 4:20, he says, how can you say, Stan, how can you say, church, that you love me and you hate your brother, others? How can you say you love me and you hate your brother? I don't like this turn. You know, I was really enjoying this. This is cozy. This was awesome. You know, I'm really liking this. But now all of a sudden he says this, kind of takes us back. Like, what? And he makes it very clear that the way I love him is mirrored in the way I treat Ken. He's saying, if you're not treating Ken with love, you're not treating me with love. It's just like, wow, that's big stuff. Because when I'm treating him bad, I'm treating God bad. And this is what he talks about here. One of the things to get our minds around this is, you know, if I told Dave here, you know, I'm your friend and I like you, and me and you, you know, we have this relationship, but I hate Flory and I hate your kids, just me and you, he's going to have a problem with that, right? You're going to have a problem with that. God feels the same way about his kids. Like, I love you, God, but nah, I hate the church. I don't like these people. He's like, I got a real problem with that. These are my kids, and I want you to love them in the same way. This is how he feels. He feels really strongly about this. This, what you see here in this diagram, is actually a picture of, you know, it's our relationship with God, our relationship with self, and our relationship with others. This is actually a picture of the 12 steps. The 12 steps are a picture of the most functional life a person could live. And whether you're a 12-stepper or not, this is the process God takes us through. Steps 1 through 3 deals with our relationship with God. 4 through 7 deals with our relationship with me. And 8 through 12 turns that corner and begins dealing with your relationship with other people. You know, it's a powerful thing. In fact, tonight, pause for commercial, we're going to do the first underground upstairs tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's all set up there. Check it out if you want. We're going to start with step 1 tonight, and we're going to begin the 12-step journey one step a week. It's going to be awesome. If you want to do it, I dare you. I dare you to come because it's wonderful. This is a session out of the underground, what I'm doing right now, if you want to know what we do. So every New Testament book has a major one another passage in it. This is real important to God, how I treat others. And this is called what we call the meat of the word, this direction, right? So the milk of the word is all God's done for me. The meat of the word is all God's going to do through me to love other people. That's the big boy stuff. That's the hard stuff. And God will take us there. Now, real quick, for my engine. This engine of personal transformation just rocks like nothing else, okay? I hope my engine's out there. So the first component of this engine, where's my first component? Is it out there? Where is it? You want to come up here and be the first component? Where's Morgan? Cool. Here's my first component. You got it. You got it. Cool. Yeah, you can, why don't you stand over there so I can, cool. Okay, here's the first component. Don't let them see the rest. Good. Okay, go ahead. First one. Yeah. Faith. First component, faith in our new identity, faith in our true identity, okay? Now, just to make this real to you guys, I'll tell you something real quick, right? All right, I'll just be honest with you guys. I can be honest here. I used to work for Fred Meyer, right? It's a big company, huge company, down the States, out here, Kroger, whatever. And I used to be a closing manager for that company. And it was a miracle that I got brought into that company at that level because of my record. And all across the board, they said, there's no way we're hiring this guy. And the powers that be, some signatures, people signed off on me, and they gave me a chance. And it was just a miracle. God gave me this amazing job with them, and I went for it. Okay, it was just great. All the training I received, dealing with people, being in public, counting huge amounts of money. And it was crazy that God gave me that job, guys, because before that, I couldn't be trusted with $20. Right? If you gave me $20 before that, I would be going halfway across town to find what I wanted with that $20, desperate and shaking and sweaty. And here, you know, we began entering this recovery thing, and God gave me this great opportunity, this job. It just blew me away. Here I had this job. It was just awesome, right? So I worked for Fred Meyer, right? Now years, yeah, as I worked with them for several years, about 7 years, I got transferred and moved over to this store, the West store. And I was going to be the new closing manager of the top store, right? It was a big deal to me then. And so I'm in the back room, and I'm getting my little vest, and I'm nervous. No one knows me there. Few people know me. I have some friends, but the whole shift, I'm getting ready to do this shift, right? And I'm in the back getting my little vest. I'm getting ready to go on the sales floor, take on my first day, close this bad boy down, right? Right when I'm getting ready, I got about 10 minutes before I go out on the floor. My friend that worked there said, Stan, come here, come here, come here. Pulls me off to the side and he says this. This is true. He says, Stan, they're having a manager's meeting upstairs right now. All the department heads are up there right now. He's making fun of you. Like he's telling them, you're the biggest joke in retail. And that they're all going to get the greatest entertainment out of watching you, a world-class idiot, operate. And that they're all going to get a big kick out of it. This guy is a loser. He's telling them this. Like all the department heads, and I'm going to be out there helping and walking their departments, doing all this stuff. This is what he's telling them. How do you guys think I felt? I was devastated. I mean, I'm telling you, I was a hit. I sat back in the back room, and I had this vest on. I was really excited about it, and I'm sitting there, and I just felt embarrassed to be standing there. Like, I'm the biggest joke. And there's a lot of reasons why they would say that. I'm not good with technology. There's a lot of stuff. I could see why. And I'm standing there with this dumb vest on, pretty, you know, just thinking, What a moron. What am I thinking doing this? Right? What do? The moment you're hurt and crushed and disappointed, the moment the phone rings, the moment you get the news, the moment you hear these things that devastate you, when you get this crushing blow like this, what do? Like, what would this guy do? What have I always done? What would my family do? Right? This kind of stuff. I'll tell you something. I went in the bathroom and pulled my card out. I said, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you accept me. Thank you that I'm forgiven of all my sins. I am the loved of God. I'm your son. Thank you, I'm important because I'm yours. And this guy's life is filled with meaning, purpose. And you have made me able to step into the shoes you've given me. Whatever you've called me to do, I could do it. You give me the power. Thank you for it. I'm yours. And this manager upstairs, God, he thinks he's in charge. Sorry to say, you're the boss. And you brought me here. And it's been me and you all the way. And it's going to be me and you to the very end. Whatever this is about, this is really about me and you. Let's go do it together. I exercise faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I'm his son and I'm loved and it's okay. And I'm okay. Okay. You know, the world gives no weight to biblical sonship. They didn't give a rip about that upstairs. You know, nobody in this world cares that I'm a son of God. But God does. And the greater part of the universe and all of God's creation, it's weighty, right? I can walk into God's office and I can tell him all this stuff and I can argue and I can work it out. I had a long walk last night talking to him about this morning, about who would be here and what would happen. You know, I can discuss all this stuff with him. You know, guys, this whole thing about self-care, going into the bathroom and pulling your own card out, you know, what that looks like for you may be different. Guys, I can't even go into the bathroom and trim my nails without it being an act of God's love over my life. Self-care, clip. Self-care, clip. I'm standing in this bathroom with these stainless steel nail clippers. How many people in the world are so safe, who are standing in a clean bathroom, clipping their nails? I am. How many people in the world are standing in a clean bathroom with running water? Most of the world doesn't even have running water, let alone clean water. I've got water here. I got water here. I got water in the other part of the house. I got so much water I'm blessed with, it's leaking in parts of my house. Like, how blessed am I? I'm that blessed. When I get dressed, guys, it is an act of spiritual warfare. God's care and love for me. Every sock, boom, I'm the loved of God. He cares for me. Look how he dresses me. Amazing. I know what it's like to not have clothes. This is incredible how I'm adorned in his care and his righteousness. Faith is the first component, and the next is quick. Who's got the next component? You do. Do you guys see what happens when I exercise faith in the gospel? There's a hope that rises up no matter what I'm going through. And there's a synonym of hope. It's called joy. And that means a confident expectation about my future, that I have one and it is good. And that wells up in me when I trust in, put my weight on what he says about me is true. And out of that hope, the last component comes. I'm able to love other people. This is the engine. This is part of the block. This is the engine of transformation. When you leave here, you're going to face a situation. You can put this bad boy in gear or not. Sometimes I blow it off. But you can put this in gear, exercising faith in who he says you are, giving you hope, giving you the ability to walk out on that sales floor and say, how can I help you? Have you found everything? How can I help you? Right? I can actually operate, care about other people, and put myself aside because guess what? I'm okay. Can you have relationships without this? Yes. But what kind of relationship? It'll be the same relationship as a tick and a dog have. Do a tick and a dog have a relationship? Yes, they're intimately connected. Is it healthy? No. The relationships we see, for the most part, are two ticks, no dog. Two ticks desperately trying to get their needs met from each other, and it doesn't work. Divorce, 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 divorce. I have to be a person that can get my needs met from God and then show up to love. Show up to love. This is what makes us different. I could have went out on the sales floor and said, I'm going to prove I'm the best manager this company has ever seen, and just been a moron, like really been a jerk. And it would have all been about me. I'm proving for me. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing it for my worth and my position. No, that's not the gospel. To the degree I'm not getting all my needs met from him, I am actually farming them out to other people and my performance and all these other things and my wife, kids, everything. I'm farming out my needs. And that is very dysfunctional. So what I say is, thanks for standing there. The moment we're hurt, disappointed, we go through suffering and pain, feel rejected, insecure, insignificant, we have like an autopilot. What is your autopilot? I naturally gravitate towards addictive behavior. I naturally go there. But the idea is to train in such a way, morning, noon, and night, to get the gospel down into the vault of my heart, into the vault of my subconscious, so that autopilot, instantly, I go here. I believe him. And I'm able to love in the midst of whatever the circumstance. This is the engine of personal transformation. If any of you guys want to come to the first step tonight, we'll be up there tonight at 6 o'clock. I hope you guys join us. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the power of the gospel. It is life-changing. Thank you for all the lives we're seeing changed here in Fairbanks and everything that Journey is about. Thank you for Derek and Deli, the amazing leadership that they're showing. Just absolutely incredible in this time of coming into this building and the financial situation and all of it. Just an amazing example that we can all follow. Thank you for Journey Church and its love. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.